This is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. It ain't Hannah, it's Bobby. And welcome to Access All Areas. And yes, as you can tell, we're live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, Ellen?
I'm great. How are you?
Really, really good, thank you. I'm glad that the sun's out. It's bringing me life. It's bringing me joy.
Thank God. We needed it, right?
We did. Retrograde hit us hard last week, didn't it?
It hit us hard, but we're over it this week, hopefully. And we are going to get some vitamin D. Soak it up.
Bring on the day. Bring on the day. Yes. And guys, you know I'm here on Access. We're always here. We're spilling tea and we always bring you a jam-packed show. And this week, OBS is no different. I am joined in the studio by, get on this, it's the final tomorrow of The Apprentice, and we've only gone and got the finalist, Phil Turner.
I know.
So I want to get all the tea, because there's a lot going around on the socials now.
Yeah.
And as we've got less than 24 hours to find out who wins and who's going to become business partners with Lord Sugar, let's see what Phil has to say. And then we're joined by a friend of mine, Miss Lystra Adams. She is on the iconic show Real Housewives of Cheshire. So we're going to get all the tea on the latest series, because I believe she's been having a little bit of beef, shall we say, over on the show. But first, we always start with a little bit of showbiz, and we are joined by the amazing Stella. How are you, Stella?
I'm good, thank you. Always good to be back.
Oh, we always love having you here on Access.
You.
You bring the tea.
Always. Always deliver.
What has caught your eye, Stella?
Well, it's a special birthday today. Can you guess whose? Any guesses?
I thought you was going to say yours, and I was going to go, I would have gone and got you a caterpillar.
I know. Well, this is of course. I would have come in with the crown. It's Miss Victoria Beckham's birthday, the big 5-0.
No way is she 50.
I know.
Can we believe it?
What is Dad? Her face is 27.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And literally everyone's just been looking back on the queen of her iconic moments,
mm-hmm.
Ali G appearance. Like, she's just how she's slayed through fashion, the Spice Girls, David. It's, everyone's just having a little reminisce.
The girl's done good in her 50 years.
Definitely.
I can't believe that she's 50, but 50 is the new 30.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I can't quite believe that she's 50. I mean, I'm now 37, so of course. But you know where you kind of, you all lock yourself into a certain age. My friend that have got kids, I still think the kids are babies, and they're at school now, and I'm like, what? It grew up.
Oh my God! It grew up. Literally, I'm 34, and if I got pregnant in the morning, I'd feel like a teenage pregnancy. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry.
I always say that. Literally, I feel so embarrassed, and they'd be like, well, duh.
Like, yeah, they'd be like, no. We were actually worried about you. Like,
she's looking better than ever, Miss Vicky B. And we call her Queen VB, I believe.
Yeah.
And happy birthday, Vic, if you're listening.
Yeah, I think an iconic moment for me that stood out was David Beckham's Netflix documentary when she spoke about how she came from a working class family, and David peered behind the door like, hold on a minute, I don't think so.
When the dad had the Rolls Royce.
Wasn't she wearing that on a t-shirt recently?
I think so, and David's been promoting it on his social, so he's not letting it go. And I believe that moment is actually nominated for, I think, a BAFTA.
How iconic it was.
Oh my God.
But this is why I love them. David's fit. Yeah. Victoria, don't be upset. You know your husband's fit. So I'm not coming for your man. But I would, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I'm not a man thief. But they are iconic. And I think Victoria, or Vicky as I like to call her, we ain't mates or nothing. But in my head, we're BFFs. I think she gets such a hard stick sometimes where people just, they're like, oh God, the girl never smiles, this, that and the other. I just think, I believe, closed doors, she's funny.
Oh, yeah.
I think she knows exactly what she's doing. And I think the joke's on us. The people that think she's like this really hard-faced, serious woman that doesn't smile. Behind closed doors, I bet she's having shits and giggles all night long.
Well,
she plays the game. So to even wear the t-shirt to take the piss out of herself.
Yeah.
I mean, hats off.
Love people who can laugh at themselves because it means that they're just, you know, they don't take themselves too seriously. They're a bit of a laugh behind closed doors. But also the non-smiling thing with Victoria, I feel like she's from the fashion world. She's probably used to people not smiling.
True,
that's like how you get the good snatched pic.
Yeah, definitely.
So she knows what she's at.
Absolutely.
Well, she always serves in the paparazzi
pic,
so she's got it down.
I could get a few tips from her, to be honest, because...
She's smiling behind closed doors. She's waking up next to David every morning.
Of course.
I mean, I'd be smiling morning, noon and night.
Definitely.
Every day would be my birthday if I woke up.
Okay, so from one queen to another, Hannah Waddingham was at the Olivier Awards.
Oh, yeah. Iconic.
Recently, but she went viral for putting a photographer in their place. I think she was posing for some pics and one of them went, show me leg or something on those lines. And she was like, yeah. I don't think so.
Yes.
You'll never say that to a man, don't ever. And the crowd just applauded.
Brilliant, fair play to her. I mean, women have been putting up with that stuff for so many years. Yeah. And in 2024, to hear it was wild. I'd love to know what age that photographer was. Like, do you think he was a dinosaur and he just didn't get the MO?
I think from the video clip, like, you saw her talking to somebody and, like, someone with grey hair kind of did turn and went off. So I'm assuming it was someone who was a bit older. But still, it's just a bit like, come on.
Because
like,
I'm thinking somebody older is probably not going to be flooding social media and TikTok where we're kind of all told now, okay, we're not dealing with that stuff anymore.
Yeah, because we're young and youthful.
Yes.
So we know what time
the
it
Gen
is.
Z.
Yeah.
And I just believe, even in my time in this industry, which is like 13, 14 years now, we are in a very different place, especially with perps. I remember back in the day when we all come on the scene, I remember girls having cameras up their skirt, upskirting, getting out of a taxi. Yeah. You was getting papped to see if you had any Alan Wickers on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
you just couldn't get away with someone getting out of an Uber or a cab now and then shooting up her skirt.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at. And I'm not suggesting that this pap tried to get up Hannah's... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even just to say, show us legs. I mean, the most you get now is, can we get an over the shoulder? A pap loves a girl to do an over the shoulder.
Yeah.
And girls are happy to oblige with that. They're quite flattering photos for the gram.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't start asking for legs, going, oh, can we have a bit of tit?
No. Yeah, exactly.
No, you can't actually. And I love that she just walked off as if to go, fuck you, you ain't having
That's literally what the vibe was, and everyone just everyone was applauding for me. I was like, yes, we love that.
I've heard a few people then commenting, but she showed her leg later on the carpet because there was a slit in her dress. Mm. But that was her prerogative.
That's exactly,
that's the difference.
Yeah, and if she wanted to lob a tit out after, Hannah, get your tits out. I mean, I don't do nothing but me, but come on, girl, have a lovely old time.
Exactly, it's just like when someone's telling you to do it.
Yeah, when someone's demanding, a man's demanding that you do something. We've just moved on. It's 2024 and we've got to remind ourselves that.
Yeah, we've got to remind that.
And she reminded him.
She reminded
him. Literally. And she put him on the spot. So in terms of, we're on the subject of like flesh and raciness, if you will, Bridgerton is coming back very, very soon.
Ooh.
And it's been teased as the raunchiest yet. When I was like, oh, okay, interesting. Because season two, it didn't really deliver on the raunchiness, but like the acting was like incredible. The slow burn, enemies to lovers, romance kept everyone gripped. But apparently it might be going back to its season one roots that had everyone a bit like clutching pearls and all that kind of stuff.
Oh.
We're talking threesomes.
Shut up.
Yeah, apparently.
Did it all go on back in the day then?
Season one was a bit of a slow burn. Everyone was like, this is meant to be a raunchy thing. But it got to like, I don't know if it was episode 3 or episode 5. From that episode onwards, literally, it was a bit like, oh, okay. Are you going to make a cup of tea? It's still going. You're like, oh, right, okay.
Because I've never seen a Bridgerton, but I never got on the old Downtown Valley thing. I went part of that vibe. But was there threesomes taking place back in this era?
I guess so. I'd
imagine so. I reckon they were more filthy back then, to be honest.
No, I may.
Because... filthy, like literally.
Yes.
Because, you know, weren't they pooing in the streets and stuff?
I heard things like that. And it's funny you said that back then, because I saw a story a couple of days ago actually about someone, there was a book coming about the Beatles, and one of them rumoured that Paul McCartney had a little bit of a threesome back in the day in his Beatles like heyday. And I was just like, what, the 60s? Like, this was happening?
Well, the 60s was mad for it, apparently.
Surely not a boy band member having a threesome. Never forbid, that's never happened.
Gosh.
They're normally really good boys in them boy bands.
So I've heard.
Yeah. Home by 9 o'clock in their hotel, ordering a club sandwich and off to bed by 11.
Yeah.
Dare to dream.
Yeah.
I know.
But everyone's looking forward to it. But I think that's the raunchy scenes was what people gripped from season one. So to hear that this season is upping it, because Nicola Coughlan, who is the leading lady this season, apparently in her contract she asked for a censored, like a watered down version, so she could show her family, because she was raised Catholic and that's just not their vibe.
Not the gun.
So I was like, that's quite interesting actually. So maybe there is something we might have to look out.
She's just not in the threesome.
Maybe not.
Yeah, yeah, just stand on the sideline, club. Yeah. Show the fans. I can't get over that she's been in two seasons of Bridgerton and her family haven't seen it.
I know, yeah. I think they might have, but obviously because they knew that she was starring as the lead, she was just like, okay, I'm going to need like a PG, U-rated version of this so we don't scare anyone.
Bridgerton producers were like, absolutely not. Yeah. Let's make it more
You know what the assignment is.
Yes. Yeah.
I guess there's that funny thing, because if you want an actress or an actor hard enough, are you going to bow down to their demands their beliefs? Or do you kind of say, if you're offered the job and you know what the job is?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough one, isn't it?
It is a tough one. I mean, there's actors playing, like there's straight actors playing gay actors and they're kissing the sex that they, you know, are not attracted to. And so...
Because that is acting.
That's acting,
isn't it?
It's the whole point. So stand out of line, girl. If you don't want the job, I'll take it.
I guess it's kind of like, and not comparing Bridgerton, because I've never really watched it, but it's like, I don't think it's a thing anymore since she died, but to apply to be, I don't know if you filled out an application form, but to be a Playboy bunny, could you then go, actually, I want to wear a onesie though?
Yeah. And,
I don't want to get any leg and tit out.
Yeah, true. Because I want my family to see the picture.
We're going to frame it, you see.
See, it's for the hallway. And I'm going to give a copy to my gran.
Yeah, so I want a nice shot of like me in a field with a horse.
Yeah.
They're like, no.
They'd be like, no, babe. Just hire your own photographer and get a family shot. So yeah, sorry, Nicola, but no.
Sorry, yeah.
And from one it girl to another, Zendaya is literally the moment recently.
She just promoted
June, and now she's on Challengers. It's like back-to-back promotional tour, and her fashion has just been eating every single time. Mm-hmm. But last night's LA premiere, Beyonce's mum said that she's proud of Zendaya and she actually reminds her of Beyonce. And I was like, is Zendaya okay? Oh, because if I were to ever receive a compliment like that from the Marge herself,
R.I.P.
I'd be dead.
Literally.
I'd want that on my gravestone.
Yeah, literally, my bio is going everywhere.
Tina Knowles said, I'm Beyonce.
I'm just like her daughter, Len. So it just proves, like, literally, like, she's just the it girl at the moment. Everyone's just obsessed with her.
And fair play, she deserves it. She's incredible.
Yeah.
An amazing actress, looks incredible. Yeah. She just ticks every box.
Yeah.
And as you say, if you get the heads up from the Queen's mum herself.
Literally, yeah.
I mean, fair play. The girl smashed it.
Totally.
Yeah. Everyone's talking about the upcoming film Challengers, and from the reviews I've seen so far, it looks giving film of the year energy, which is like interesting, very interesting.
We'll have to keep an eye out, we'll have to go watch it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure we've all seen the weekend was quite showbiz filled when it came to news and goss.
Yeah,
we had the Sharon O and the Amanda sitch. What's your take on that, Stella? What's the streets saying?
The streets are saying, so everyone, I'll just say it how it is. Everyone is applauding Sharon on this one, because everyone is just like the read, like the choice of word, the pantomime reference at the end when she was like, I am not the stepsister to be messed with.
So
I was
good.
Like, it's giving literature, it's giving poetry.
It's Shakespeare, isn't it?
100%.
It is literally, it was art. Now, I spoke about this at the start of the week. I love Amanda. She's always been lovely. Times I've had interactions with her, which has been limited, but when it has, she's always been lovely. So it's not that I'm picking teams.
No.
I love both of them.
Yeah.
But it was art to me. It was Shakespearean.
So
it was
definitely
literature. It was iconic.
Yeah.
What was your favourite line from Sharon's monologue?
Oh, God, it's hard
so
to say.
One.
Do you know what I kind of, and I think what I love about it, I love strong, feisty women. I've grown up with strong, feisty women. Mm-hmm. So it's just a bit of me. And I've also got a little bit of fire in my belly.
Yeah, yeah.
So can be, and am, a lovely guy, I like to think.
Yeah.
But I'm no fool and I'm no idiot. And if you're coming for me, I'm going to read you to filth and I'm going to drag you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what Sharon kind
of
did.
I love that you said that, because a lot of people, I saw some people saying that her statements came across a bit braggy. The mansion bit in particular, like, was it necessary, the handbag line? But I also do agree with you. If you've read something that someone's making a dig at you, everyone has a right to defend themselves, especially when it's something that's probably been bubbling for the last however many years. And you're just like, you know what? Enough's enough. I'm going to say my truth.
I'm going to let you know what time it is.
Exactly.
But in terms of favourite bit, I think the handbag, it kind of, because it literally is It is a few handbags. So that's a few Birkins.
That was literally the best line. She basically said that the money she made through the X Factor and the shows that Simon Cowell got her only bought her a few handbags. Amanda was insinuating, I suppose, that Simon Cowell made her in some way when Sharon Osbourne made Ozzy Osbourne.
Exactly.
And the Osbournes, a TV show, which were really the first Kardashians. They were Sharon the first big reality
Sharon is the original Kris Jenner. 100%. She's a mumager.
Yeah.
100%.
So she was around long before X Factor. And she let everybody know. She reminded everybody.
She just let people know. And I absolutely loved it. But as I say, I love Amanda as well. So I'm not coming for anyone.
Of course, yeah.
But just... fuck it, I'm here for it. Like,
it
was a rage. No one expected it, but I loved it. But anyway, showbiz aside, I think you've got a little going for us,
Stella. I do. We've got another Two Truths, One Lie headline edition.
Right, what's the rules again? Me and Ellen.
Here we go.
We're always asked about tip with this. We never get it.
Okay, so I'm just going to read them out. And afterwards, you just say which one you think is real, which one you think
is fake.
So there's
one fake.
There is one fake one, yes.
There's one fake.
And we're picking out the fake.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm sorry. We're at number one.
Yeah.
Ollie Murs injures a child after lying that he could juggle.
He what, sorry?
After lying that he could juggle.
He injures a child.
Injures a child after lying that he could juggle. Shall I just read out all three?
And yeah.
Okay, so that's the first one. Cole and Dylan Sprouse didn't want to stop playing video games to meet Matt Damon.
Okay.
And the third one, Robert Pattinson blew up his microwave while trying to invent a pasta dish. Okay. So we got Ollie Murs, Cole and Dylan Sprouse, and Robert Pattinson.
And one is fake.
Yes.
And we need to pick that out. I'm going to say Ollie and the juggling is fake.
Okay.
See, I think that's so random. It's got to be true. But this is where we're so balls deep in this crazy world of the biz called show that actually even the most maddest thing seems like that's likely. I'm going to go for the third one, blowing up a microwave.
Okay. And the winner is... Ellen, it's Ollie Murs.
Oh, blimey, congrats, Ellen.
That is my first win.
Ding, ding, ding. And that is Two Truths, One Lie headline edition.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much, Stella.
No problem at all.
I was coming, bringing the tea.
Always.
She always understands the assignment.
She does. Always delivers.
And we love it. And talking showbiz, I'm sure you girls have seen. I want to get your quick opinion on this before I throw to Bobby on the street this week. But... it's been speculated. It's these veneers, honestly. It's been speculated about online that Taylor Swift is a little bit overrated.
What?
Yes, no. I did see this. Courtney Love said, basically gave like a scathing takedown-ish.
That was Courtney Love?
That's, I think...
Courtney Love is saying Taylor's overrated.
That response has been the number one. Like, who's Courtney Love again?
What?
Because what was it? She said she's overrated and she's...
not that interesting as an artist.
Unimportant.
Yes, that was the one.
Okay. So, girls, before I throw to Bobby on the street, which obviously that was my question on the streets.
Okay.
I was beating the streets and I wanted to know, do you agree with Courtney or not with Miss Tay-Tay? Ellen, do you think that she's overrated and not important?
No, I think she's just getting going. Like, Taylor's like single...
oh, she's going.
She's like single-handedly holding up economies right now. Like, everyone's going into like recessions and she just does one concert and they're like, oh my God, we're out of recession. Oh my God, thank you so much, Taylor. So, no, Courtney, whoever you are, no, be quiet. Go back to the 2000s, wherever you're from.
Stella.
It's interesting because, like, I feel like as a songwriter, like, she, I'll give her a prop. She is incredible. She knows how to put pen to paper. But I'm going to be so real. I don't really get and understand the hype when it comes to her. I feel like she's a great artist. But, you know, like when it comes to her and Ticketmaster, like, the way people are going into, like, thousands and thousands of debt and, like, people are queuing for, like, hours on end. Like, the hype with her is just, like,
it's
a high that I've never really seen before. Like, it's even compared to Michael Jackson. And, like, that's the part I'm a bit like, okay. Like, I give her a props as an artist.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I'm when it comes to the hype around her, I'm a bit like, okay, interesting, but to each his own. But I think to go as far as saying an artist is unimportant and things like that, it's a bit like, hold on now, like, should we really say that about any artist? Like, everyone's all paid their dues in some way or another.
Let's see what the streets are saying. Here we go, Bobby on the street.
Are you a Taylor Swift fan?
No, not so. I like her, but I think I'm a little bit old.
I like her old music, but the new just isn't for me.
I think she's great. I just don't listen to it, but I think it is great.
Not really. I try to listen to her songs, but it's not really my cup of tea.
Of course, always love Taylor Swift.
Have you ever seen her live?
Going three times a summer.
Babes, are you a Swiftie or not?
I am.
Do you think all this speculation online that she's overrated and not interesting is a load of bull?
Yes.
Girls, are you Taylor Swift fans?
Yeah.
What's your favourite song?
You Belong With Me.
And how about you, Mum? Are you a fan?
I am a fan, but I love whatever she loves.
So that's what the streets of London town were saying. So happy days. More Bobby on the Street next week. Again, thank you so much, Stella.
Thank you.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you so much.
Anytime. We're looking forward to having you back soon. So we're going to go to a little break and then we're going to be joined in the studio by the Apprentice finalist, Phil Turner. We will see you in two.
Access All Areas continues next. FUBAR Radio.
Hey! FUBAR Radio presents
Access All Areas.
Mark from Married at First Sight UK.
See, at the wedding, you told Sean you were 26, but you're actually 36.
Oh, yeah.
So drop in that decade. We ain't gone 1 or 2 years either side. What was going through your head when you thought, I'm going to shave off 10 years.
A 26. Third of your life.
Yeah.
It was instant reaction. As soon as anyone says to me, how old are you? I'm like 26. I just stopped counting after 26. Would I have told him? Probably not.
No. Yeah. Ever?
Well, maybe when we're 80 years old and we've got the grandkids running around. And
except
like,
you wouldn't be 80 years old. You'd be 98.
I'd be 26 still. I'd be going around the corner for some more injections.
Joining me now, the former leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, MP. And there you are stood with hundreds of thousands of people at Glastonbury singing, "Oh, Jeremy Corbyn." What is that like?
It was quite extraordinary. It was an amazing experience, and I was very pleased we did it. We wrote, the office got very excited about Glastonbury. Every single person in the office thought it was necessary for them to be at Glastonbury with me.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
Every single one said it was really necessary for me to come.
The Dating Show.
I'm friends with a fair few exes, and I think you can be friends with an ex, but I genuinely do. But I do think that it's timing is everything with that.
I think it depends what you cast as a friend.
Yeah,
are you
talking about
you know, someone you're going to hang out with on your sofa? Like, if you've already shagged, you know, isn't that a bit weird?
I think that's a different level of friend. I think that's a different level of friend. You can be friends with someone, but you can't be, like, best fucking friends with someone. I mean, I've got exes that I talk to about their current partners and whatever else, and they'll tell me about that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't say, oh, do you want to come over for fucking Chinese and chill on the sofa?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, guys. And as you just heard, we are live on FUBAR Radio. And we've just been joined in the studio by finalist of this year's Apprentice, Phil Turner. How are you, Phil?
Yeah, I'm good, Bobby. Yeah, how are you guys? All right? Yeah,
really good. Thank you, mate.
Excited to be here.
So, big day tomorrow, the final of the Apprentice.
That's right, big day, yeah. It's been a long 12 weeks. It's been a very, very long 2 weeks. I don't know if you've been keeping up with it, but...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm a bit of a loser this year. 9 losses in the trot. I've had a lot of time with the big man himself.
That is crazy. Like, you're in the
final two.
Did you ever think it when you had the 9 losses?
Do you know what? Everyone's written me off. I'm the big underdog, but the big thing about losing all the time is because you get a lot of time to spend with Lord Sugar, Tim and Karen. So I feel as if it is an advantage to actually lose every week. So bit of a hack, if you know what I mean.
But
I think
it's got its perks.
It's got its perks, but obviously they're assessing us on absolutely everything and not just necessarily the wins and the losses. So absolutely buzzing to be in the final. Looking forward to tomorrow.
So when people ask you, because like you say, you've lost was 9 out of the 10.
Yeah.
Why do you think Alan, I call him Adam, I call him Lord
Shooks.
Alan.
I call him
Shooks. Shooks. Love that. What do you mean, Alan? I was like, Alan, what do you think Shooks thinks about that? Is he happy to override that? Well, clearly, you're in the final two.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like, it's his decision. What goes on in the boardroom is absolutely his say. I think you guys only really see a really small snippet of actually what happens. So, obviously, you're on the winning team, you're on the losing team, and obviously that's the sort of show that you see. You see the story of the winning team or you see the story of the losing team, which is why if you're on the losing team, all your cock-ups are shown pretty much.
Yeah.
But I knew from early days that me and Lord Sugar, like Lord Sugar's a bit like my dad. Like the reason I wanted to go on the show in my application form, I was like, I love his no bullshit approach to business.
Yeah.
He literally is straight down the line, says it as he sees it. And I'm like that, and I could kind of tell early, look, he got me and I got him. And I think maybe that helped me a little bit when the chips were down a little bit. That might have helped me. But
I do feel like after watching it that you and him had some sort of rapport. Like as a viewer, I was like, there's something not adding up because of the losses. And then he was like, you better be the manager on the next one. And thank God you won that, because I think he would not have fired you. He would have changed the goalposts.
Do you know the amount of times I've been asked if you've got Lord Sugar's nudes? Yeah. Like, or are you buying him with pies? That's all I've ever had. Like, no, I'm honest, legit.
It's like a little bromance that's formed, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And he probably sees something in you, like you say.
Yeah, I think so. I think, I'm sort of working class background. You know, I didn't have a lot when I was younger. Haven't been to university, haven't been to private school, that. So I think he kind of sees that in some people. And you can see like people like Sam, Verdi a little bit. I think, I just can't help but think he like relates to us a little bit more. Mm. And I think he sees the ones that are prepared to work. And at the end of the day, like the tasks are testing our resolve. You know, you're going to have a load of shit thrown at you. It's going to be bad. And it's like, who can handle it the most? And I think the ones with the most resilience are the ones that he sort of thinks, you know what, you've got it. Because that's what it takes in business.
You've got to have a thick skin. Absolutely, I mean, it's got to be like a rhino.
Yeah.
So about 24 hours till the finale, is the old arsehole twitching? Because a lot of people don't realise, but you film alternative endings. So you would have filmed a scene of you winning and a scene of you losing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is that hard to kind of fake, because you kind of think, I'm pretending to have won and you haven't quite got the...
Yeah, it's a bit weird. At the time, I didn't know that was the drill. I was kind of sitting there and I can't remember who he said first. And the first reaction's kind of really genuine. And like, I think it was Rach. I was like, well done, Rach, blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, right, we're going to run this again. Excuse me. And even when they said, like, Rach had won, I was really happy for her. So both emotions were genuine. Like,
right.
It was, we were both so shagged by the time we got that far into the process. Yeah. Like, all I wanted to do was go home and see my family and kids. So like, I was just like, let's just get it over and done with and get me home. Because we've been there for a long time. It was absolutely knackered. Yeah.
And
good.
So you have to film, so it's probably easier filming the one where you win, right?
Yeah.
But then you have to film the one where you lose and you have to like fake be upset. No, but like you're probably for the 12 weeks going, I'm the winner, do you know, like positive affirmations. And then all of a sudden you have to pretend on that last line, that last hurdle, you have to pretend to be the loser. Like, is that harder?
Do you know what? It's such a weird feeling. Like, we're so mentally and physically drained by the time we get there. I remember thinking, like, you want to win. I'm so competitive. Like, I really wanted to win. But we sort of create this bond with the other candidates that we all kind of feel like we're in it together.
Yeah.
And when they said Rachel won, I thought, bloody hell, wait, Rach, well done. Like, I genuinely felt happy for her.
Yeah.
And it was just, you don't know what, like, you're not thinking logically by that stage. You're running on fumes. Yeah. And I was kind of like, it wasn't like a fake. It's a bit weird. It's a bit awkward because it's a bit like, oh, like, well done. And I remember Karen saying, well, you can look happy if you want, because when they said you won, I was a bit like, but it is a bit weird. But I think even if it was legit and they showed the winner, you wouldn't over celebrate because obviously you've got someone there.
It's a funny situation to be in because, your gain is almost a mate and you all become mates, I'm guessing. Some closer than others. But
absolutely, yeah.
And it's kind of cheese on toast cliche, but I generally believe when you get to the final of a show like that, you are a winner indirectly to get to the end.
Absolutely, yeah.
And there's nothing wankery about saying that. You've completed the process. Exactly. So you haven't missed an episode, a task. So whatever happens, you've smashed it anyway.
I think going on to the process, like one of the things I wanted out of it, obviously you go on there and you think, I want to get to the interviews at least, blah, blah, blah. But I remember saying to my wife before I left, I just want to experience it all. Like, I want to go away. I want to be in the boardroom. I want to be in the car. I don't want to miss anything. Because, you look at it on TV and they go in the house and above and beyond the competition, it's a bloody great experience. And I felt as if I've experienced it all. The only thing I didn't get was fired, which was great. You know, you get fired if you come first or second. You don't get fired.
So do you literally find out tomorrow when the show goes out, or does someone from the BBC, do you get like a WhatsApp or a quick phone call 5 minutes before the show to go, heads up, you've won it?
So we need to be a bit careful what I say. So we get a phone call.
No, you don't. It's only us here.
We get a phone call from Lord Sugar.
Before the show airs.
Or do you already know now?
So I know the result. So basically,
oh my God! All right, do you want to go to the pub after this, and we'll get it out of
your drink?
So we filmed the after show in advance.
Right.
You're fired after show, or you're hired. Yeah, obviously, that has to be filmed in advance. That's not live. So that was filmed earlier on in the week. So we get a phone call in the green room literally before to say, "Vinyl, you haven't won," and then we go out, film the show. So some people know the result, but not very many people.
Oh,
and I ain't going to tell you now.
So by the time you film that, I guess, so that's not like a fake reaction. When you're filming the after show, you've just been tipped off minutes before in the green room.
Exactly,
if you've
yeah.
won or lost.
100%, yeah. So you come out and obviously you do the show. And
wow.
But the show's brilliant.
Were
anyway,
you
so.
Happy when you found out?
Get away, yeah. You're going to get me out.
Nah.
Oh, yeah, I'm an expert at this.
Now, diverting a little bit from the show, but not so much because that's your business. I have to say that... funnily enough, even before I knew you was going to be a guest on the show this week, I saw something on TikTok. You know what I'm about to say.
No,
do you
no,
know?
No.
So basically, I wanted to get
your thing.
Why are
you
I mean, it weren't, like, it weren't a dick pic or nothing.
Go on.
So I saw that a gentleman had got in touch and he said that his wife wanted a cream pie from
you. Yeah, love that.
And
love
I love the yeah. And I love the straight faceness going on. We don't offer that. What was your fault? Obviously, I'm guessing you know what he was referring to. Well, did you think he literally wanted an eclair?
It's a really, really, really. That's a really weird story because I was with my missus in Birmingham actually at Verdi's party, and I'm always thinking about because I've only been on social media about a year, but I'm quite creative and I'm always thinking about ideas. And I remember thinking I might create an account and ask myself that question, and it was so weird. But honestly, 2 days later, someone came up in my comments and they said my missus wants a cream pie. And I'm quite good at, like, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So I went straight on. Like, one take, I was like, you know, sorry, we obviously don't do cream pies. We do a lot of pies, fruit pies, meat pies, but we don't do cream pies. Straight face. Thanks for the question. Apologise to your missus for me. And my comments blew up. And the amount of people that messaged me, privately messaged my friends, said, mate, you've been done there, you've been had there.
Yeah.
I'm like, the joke's on you if you don't kind of get
but
it.
But you know what the coup was.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Right. And then obviously someone else went in the comments and said, do you have any pies with cumin? So straight away from that, and I was like, keep them coming because this is easy content.
It's content.
Yeah.
You literally just had to sit back and let everybody fight it out in your comments.
Well, I think because I did it with such a straight face, like literally half the comments are like, how did you do it with a straight face? And the other half were like, you're an absolute idiot. I can't believe you've been done, which is brilliant, isn't it? Because that's obviously what gets
that's
you going.
Because in my head, I was thinking, I could tell you're a boy about town. Do you know what I mean? I was thinking, there's no way you don't know what a cream pie is. Is even literally, the joke's on us here, and he's literally like.
Very innocent.
Yeah, very, very innocent, or he's being very, very clever. But I guess, obviously, going on a show as big as The Apprentice, good-looking lad, how does your missus feel that there's a lot of women out there that want a cream pie from your film?
It ain't the women that I'm in the DMs. I'm telling you.
Really?
Well, when Ryland messaged, when I put the... Because I met Ryland out in Marbella last year, and we had a little,
did he want a cream
I had a little chat of him, and he's... What a bloke he is. But anyway, so when I put my picture up saying, you know... Surprise, surprise, I'm going to be on The Apprentice, blah, 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 blah. He put a silly comment like, one for the lads or something like that. And obviously everyone's liking that. And then they're all in my DMs. So I said to him, you ain't got nothing to worry about. It's all the blokes. And they're filthy, mate. They're worse.
I know what the men are like. Have you had any... I always like to ask people what the DMs are saying. And are you getting dick pics in there from the guys?
You know what the most frequently asked question is?
What's that?
What?
Can you show me your feet or can I buy your socks? The amount of people with foot fetishes are off the charts.
Foot fetishes are wild online, aren't they?
Yeah.
Have you got extra bucks?
They always ask me, have you got OnlyFans? And obviously what I do with Baker in that, I say, no, we don't only do flans, we do pies and everything. And once again, they're like, no, they meant OnlyFans. So just have a bit of fun with it. But
they want to see if you're selling spunky underwear.
They want to see all sorts, mate.
Yeah.
But
if I come across
hard times, I'll probably jump into it.
There's a lot of money in it.
So back to.
You didn't answer. Have you had any dick pics come through? Or any girls sent you any tit pics?
I haven't, not yet, no. No.
Wait till tomorrow.
Wait till tomorrow.
What about any... obviously you've met Rye. Any blue tickers sliding into the DMs? Any famous people showing support?
Quite a lot of people. I don't want to name drop too many people.
No,
but
you can drop him.
Obviously Tom Skinner from The Apprentice. Yeah. He's obviously the big don when it comes to The Apprentice. So I met him in Soho the other day. We had a few drinks and that was lovely. Because for me, he's like proper geezer, like really nice bloke. And he is literally a legend. He is like such a nice guy. I've had quite a few people that support Blue Ticks, but I'm not one of these people who fanboy over it. Kind of just give them a little hello and just move on and get on with it. Yeah, 100%. But it's good. It's good fun. It's a very weird experience. It's not like this is not my world. I'm sort of just visiting at the moment, so it's nice. It's lovely. Yeah.
Dipping
it's good
your
fun.
Toe in.
Just dip my toe in and see what it's all about. Yeah.
So do you know? Is there anybody that you thought was going to be in the final? With you, obviously, because
from the start, the ones. Because obviously you've got the boys versus the girls at the start. Mm. So at the start, you kind of, it's all hearsay, you sort of. And I knew that I'd heard through the grapevine that Flo and Rachel were the ones to watch. And I think from the boys, I knew Dentist Paul was going to be legit. Like, I knew he was good. Mm. Jack was really good. He actually went out quite early. Mm. But to be honest, the ones that ended up in the final were pretty much the ones that everyone in the house kind of knew. And obviously, you guys as viewers, it's not that obvious to you because obviously they want to make it a show and they want you to be like, oh, he should have got fired. Sometimes it looks a lot closer than what it is like in reality. Mm. But I think generally the kind of, it's easy for me to say and I don't want to sound, but like the kind of cream kind of rose to the top a little bit in terms of the final five. Yeah.
I was actually shocked to see Flo and Trey go last week.
Yeah.
I think most people on social media were too, because I think they thought that they would make it to the final as well. Were you shocked?
I think you've obviously got, it's two parts, isn't it? Mm. You've got the tasks, which is like the show, and then you've got the final two episodes, which is the business side of it. So obviously with Trey, I'm not sure, I can't speak for him, but I'm not sure if he was doing that business before he went on the show. But he's a fantastic entertainer, great charisma, really, you know, really, he could sell you anything. Like, I'd give him this microphone and he'd sell it to you and you think it's the best microphone in the world.
Totally.
So whereas me and Rach were kind of a little bit more quietly going about our business, but we both got established businesses, we both run businesses, and I think at the end of the day, Lord Sugar wants to jump into bed with someone who can just run a business for him. He doesn't want to be doing, like, he's getting on a little bit, he doesn't want to be doing all the legwork, he doesn't want to be doing all that. So I think it kind of comes down a little bit to that, but they were incredibly strong candidates, and had I been watching it at home, I'd look at them two and be like, they're the two favourites.
I did notice that from the hard interview section. Yeah. That, like, Lord Sugar went with the people that had established business, you were making good money.
Yeah.
So that's the recipe then for, like, next year's candidates, right?
Yeah,
like,
so,
have your business up and going, have your prototype, like, you know, do sales before you go in.
And I think the way they cast the show, because obviously when I got on the show, I thought, you know, I'll go back and watch a couple of series just to see what it's all about. And I'm not just saying this because I'm on that, but it feels like they've cast it a little bit more credible. Like, there's a lot of people on the show with businesses and stuff, where I think last year they went a little bit Love Island, a little bit, and I think they got a bit of backlash from that.
Yeah.
And I think that's why in the interviews they just hammered everyone, because no one had any decent business plans and there was tears and all sorts, weren't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas I think this year they've tried to kind of show, look, these people are sort of semi-sensible, and even though you get the apprentice fuck-ups like you do always, but I think that's kind of how they
do it. It kind of makes it less of just looking like a generic reality show, do you know what I mean? When it looks like no one's kind of creditable, you kind of, ultimately, reality aside, it's a business show.
Absolutely.
So you kind of, I get why, if that is what they've done this year. How do you have the apprentice if it's just all shits and giggles and just banter? That's not, and also Alan ain't that kind of geezer. Like, he ain't there to be made to look a dick.
No,
do you know what I mean?
And obviously it loses credibility for him. And I think, I think the days of like all the bitchiness and all the fighting, it's all good to see. But I think now, like you said earlier, they're allowing that kind of, oh, these people are friends, and they're showing their friendship, and I think people have really bought into that. They like to see that rather than the fights and all that sort of stuff.
Totally. Yeah, the audience has changed.
It's getting a bit boring, isn't it?
Like it's old act, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Things have to evolve.
Exactly.
What's the hardest thing about filming a gig like The Apprentice? Because obviously a lot of people like see their hour every week.
Yeah.
Obviously you film a lot more than an hour. It's continuous. Yeah. So you never know what's going to make it to the edit. And I think a lot of people, when you film TV shows, they think we sit down and get shown before. So you don't know yourself until it goes.
No
idea what they're going to use. But in that process, what's the hardest thing?
Like, honestly, the hardest thing for me was just being away from my family. You know, I've got a wife, I've got two kids, and it was just that separation. And like, as you know, probably you're in a bubble, you know, it's completely blocked out from the outside world. It's a bit like Big Brother. You get very limited time to speak to your family. I ended up writing letters to my daughter, which was lovely. We sort of ended up becoming pen pals, and that's really nice because it was like
that's
a different way. And the lack of sleep is just impossible. Like, we're up at 4 and like, we don't get watches or clocks, so it's quite disorientating. But like, I'm pretty sure we're up at 4 and, you know, we weren't getting to sleep. Like, it was bedtime at 10, but me and the lads used to sit up and talk and all that sort of stuff, do all the naughty stuff because the doors were closed. Not that sort of naughty stuff.
Oh, cream pies!
Cream pies! I might have to apply next year.
But the hardest thing really was, in the early episodes, the hardest thing was just working with people. Everyone wants their voice heard. Everyone's all over each other. Everyone wants to be on TV. But as it goes on, it's just that grinding down of your sleep deprivation. You're not eating what you want to eat. You don't see your friends and your family. It just grinds you down, but
Well, I'm sure I can speak for both myself and Ellen and everyone at FUBAR. We're wishing you the best of luck for tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Our money's on you.
Thank you.
You better bring it on.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
And the next time you come in, I want pies.
Next time
bring
I come
pies.
In, I'll
cream
bring
pies.
He wants a cream pie.
Guys, thanks for having me. It's been absolutely really
you're
nice
so
to meet
welcome.
You both.
Thank you very much. When it's announced that you win tomorrow, we'll have you back. when you're up and running and you're old busy mates and business partners with old Shugs.
Right. Yeah.
Bring Lord Sugar in with you, and we'll.
So what you're saying? If I lose, you're not having me back on. Is that what you're saying?
No, we can't.
I'll have you back.
If you lose, we want you disgruntled and spilling all the secrets.
If I lose, you delete all the social media posts. You never come on the show.
No, you can come back, but then you're spilling tea because you're not contractually obliged to have to keep secrets. Yeah. So when you come back and you tell us all about Ellen, if not, you come back and you tell us really what goes on behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Deal.
Right, win-win for us.
Thank you, Phil. Guys, we're going to throw to a little break. We'll be back in two and we'll be joined by Alistair Adams. We'll see you in a minute.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
FUBAR Radio presents
Politics and joining us now, we have Muhammad Ali, author who is currently writing a book about India under Narendra Modi. Mr. Ali, thank you so much for joining us. And so I wondered if you could give us perspective to our listeners, what life is like for an Indian Muslim right now. Are they at risk of violence at any point in their life?
So right now, Muslims have stopped. They're very cautious not to appear as Muslims in day-to-day lives. Like they've stopped wearing skull caps, they've stopped eating meat in public spaces. And what has happened is that every idea and everything associated with Muslims have been illegitimized and have been criminalized in India today.
Every Thursday, FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access All Areas. We are live on FUBAR Radio and she's just joined us on the Zoom. We have got the lovely Alistair Adams in the house. Alistair, how are you, darling?
Hello.
Hello, Alistair. You all right, hon? Can you hear me, babes?
We can see her, we can't hear her. She looks absolutely gorgeous, guys.
She's a glamour purse.
Yes.
Sorry,
oh, we've lost her.
We've lost her, but she'll be back. So basically, Alistair, as a lot of you know that watch reality TV, she is a housewife, Real Housewives of Cheshire. Mm. And she's stuck in a little bit of beef at the minute, this series. So when we get her back on the Zoom, her nails are always incredible. I can just say, oh my God,
her nails
are stunning. Can you hear me, Alistair?
I can hear you.
How are you, darling?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, baby girl. I've missed you.
Oh, I've missed you too. I'm so happy to see you. Hi.
We need a night out, Sarah. We'll catch up. I'll message you after. Right, Lish, we got to talk because a lot's changed since I saw you last. You're all loved up. You've got a lovely girlfriend now. How's that going?
Oh, my God. It's going amazing. Like, I'm just waiting for her to, like, pop the question, you know. I'm like, here's the finger. Ready.
You got the nails done, ready, waiting.
But yeah, the nails in the hand looks ready for an Instagram. I said yes, post. Like, yeah.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Have you got a feeling? Do you reckon she's going to propose anytime soon? Because it's kind of, there's a lot of people saying, when's she going to get you down the aisle?
Listen, she's already got me down the aisle. I've said yes many a times and I'll say yes again and again.
Oh, I love it. Well, I'm waiting for my invite when it happens and hopefully it's not too long.
You'll definitely have front row seat. Don't worry, you'll be there.
Absolutely, sweetheart. Babes, I've got to ask you, this series so far, it's as you girls always do, you're bringing the drama and you always keep it real. You all do, but you're in a little bit. There's a bit of beef going on. What can you fill the listeners in? What's going down? What time is it?
Listen, like you say, we always keep it real. Mm-hmm. Some keep it realer than some. Let's be honest.
That's the way reality TV is now. Some people really keep it 100 and some kind of don't understand the assignment.
But the problem is for viewers, right? Is the beef real or is there any bit of it that's kind of like pushed by producers or anything like that?
No, it's very much real. I get this question a lot. And it's very much real. The arguments are real. I mean, we're definitely not scripted. We're a bunch of very feisty, strong women. And, you know, sometimes it do get really heated. And it is what it is, you know. And we have arguments, we make up, we have arguments again, and then we make up.
Sounds like any friend group, really, doesn't it?
I actually couldn't believe, and I'm not sure if I spoke to you about this, Lister, when I last filmed for your show, but I've done like two or three cameos on your show, as you know. And
yes, of course, I remember.
I couldn't believe how real it is. And someone that started on a reality TV show like 13, 14 years ago, did 10 plus years on a show, how real your show is. I remember looking around and going to Tan, but when are we filming the scene? And she's like, this is it. There isn't scenes. You don't film scenes. They're just literally... What happens, happens.
They're just following... The camera crew are just following you around.
Literally. And even there's me going, oh, we're going to film it. Like, she's like, no, we are filming this. This is it.
You're like, shit, you should have told me. I'm talking about cream pies over here.
You know what it is as well? You can look. I mean, like you said earlier, it's in every friendship group, you know? You have ones that... You know, you fall out a lot of the times with, and you have ones that you get on most of the time. So you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's just the situation, you know, and obviously, there's been lots of heated argument this season. Yeah.
Who's...
You know, I tried to stay out of the arguments. They just find me.
Who's getting on your tits the most?
Sorry?
Who's getting on your tits the most? You keep it 100, Lystra. Yeah. Come on, darling.
Yeah, well, you know I do. I mean, for the viewers, but the ones that do watch the show, and I hope that you all do, you would know who, you know, I don't get on with and who I do. So, yeah, without naming names, you know the ones that I don't get on with like that, but yeah. But that's the love.
I love you.
It is.
So who are you closest with on the show right now then?
The closest, well, Tanya for sure is my BFF and she'll always be for life. Tanya, you've got Ampika who's back, you know, Ampika, OG, Sheena, very, very close. Sheena is my girl. And then you've got the new ones, you've got Elle and you've got Paige. Close with them,
And what are the new girls saying? Do they understand the assignment? Or are you having to kind of edge them in and let them know what the coup is?
Well, listen, they're new. And I remember when I was walking in, you know, to this group of women, you know, they've been there before. They're cemented. They've got their friendship, their bond. And, you know, for somebody strange coming in, you know, that's what I've got myself into this pickle I'm in now, for standing up for Paige, you know, and I've said to myself after what happened to me, I would always stand up for anybody else that come after me. That's just it. So, you know, as much as I'm now in the heat with, you know, people over an argument, that was nothing to do with me, but I was just standing up for what's right.
So I know you haven't name-checked her, and for anyone listening, it's Rachel at the minute. You've got a bit of an issue with, a bit of beef, isn't it? How are things with you and... Come on, babes.
Yeah, that would be, that
what's
would
the
be
what's the situation as it stands today with you and Rachel?
So, I'll tell you what they'll have to watch. I'll have to be a sports boy, and I'll have to say that.
Oh, Lystra, you're better than that.
No, only because, you know why I'll say that, and I'll elaborate a little bit on certain points, but the only reason why I say you have to watch, obviously, because it's airing every Monday, 9 o'clock, ITV.
Get that plug in.
That's called clickbait, honey.
because obviously every week is followed on from what you know what I mean. If I tell you now, I'm just gonna spoil it. So you know, obviously we've had the massive argument, and now it's like, if you wait till Monday, do we make up? Are we going to make up? Is she going to apologize? So I can't exactly sit there and go, oh, well, yeah, you know, we made up, because that'll give it away.
I've been your side. Like, I know how hard it is in these interviews, but in this seat, you've got to appreciate, I've got to ask you that. But I also get where you're coming from. I've been there.
But don't get me wrong, too. I mean, like I said, in friendship groups, I mean, in that argument and the whole beef, what I just need to put out there, even for my fans, and because I've got a lot of people who are quite confused about what went on. And it's just to reiterate the situation, it's like my daughter's name was mentioned and I was really upset about it. Mm. And I just thought that there was no need to even bring kids into it, end of, you know? Mm. And the situation, whereas it was like, oh, but you confided in me. It wasn't like I picked up the phone and made a call and said, this was it. It's like if we sat here, Bobby, and you know, how we like five of us, you know, when you're filming and you sat around the table.
Yeah.
And at that time, Bougie, you know, when the press was going wild and they were like, oh, Lystra's not paying the staff. And obviously with the Bougie situation, I've not spoken much about it, only because I'm going to do it in my time. You never know, I might be writing in a book or something like that. So I don't really want to talk too much about it. But my thing is that it was what was said. It was around a table of about maybe, let's say, 4 or 5 cast members. So it wasn't like I picked up the phone and go, hey, you know, my daughter did. And so to bring it back to this whole situation about bringing up my daughter and the money situation, it was literally off the back of me just around friends putting it out there. I'm the one that's saying, like, okay, the papers are printing that I'm not paying my staff. And I was like, but the staff bill at the end of every month was like 250K.
Fuck,
I was losing money left, right, and center. Yeah. And I said in that conversation, I was like, oh, you know, they're saying I'm not paying my staff. I've even taken 50 grand from my daughter to put in there. So you understand where that was said?
Mm.
So that was said in amongst friends at the table. I volunteered information. So for me and you having a simple conversation about why Paige is in the group and here to stay, and for you to throw that happened 2 or how many years ago, that means it's like you had that holding there and you went below the belt and you weaponized that for 5 minutes. And I just didn't think that was necessary. So to put that in perspective, because, you know, obviously we film and you can't show everything, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I had a lot of questions and I needed to answer it, because a lot of people were like, well, you know, why? So all this about, oh, you broke and whatever, my business went down. That don't mean I would. I mean, and it's no laughable thing. And this is why I was so hurt, because, you know, I was in Bougie with, it was me and 2 other silent people. And there's one of them are actually bankrupt. And it's no joke. Like, this was in COVID. There's a lot of people that have much more money than me. Business went down. So I didn't think that, you know, that moment, I think that was a very, very low blow and very nasty.
Mm. I've got to ask, obviously, one of your mates has just done Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it something you would be interested in? How did Lauren find the show? Have you spoke to her much after?
Yeah, I did. It's something amazing for her, something that she always wanted to do. And to answer your question, for sure, I would love to do that. I would love to do the jungle. Could you see me in the jungle with this nail?
I was just about to say.
Fucking hell, you'd literally be picking up testicles on your acrylics.
I'll be using this as chopsticks.
Oh my God. If you were allowed to bring in one item of makeup or skincare or beauty product into the jungle with you, what would it be?
Lashes. I love my lashes. Yes. I literally, if I'm not leaving the house, I'm still putting on my lashes. So yeah.
Great choice.
And who would your dream lineup be? If you was to do the jungle this year, what celebs do you want in there with you?
Good question.
Thanks, girl.
Let's see. That's a good question. Who would I want in there?
Any of the housewives with you? I'm guessing not Rachel.
It'd be great for us.
Bobby. Oh, my God, Bobby. Who's the shady of me? Me or you?
Sorry, babe. I'm the presenter. I've got to ask. It's the Lord's work. I have to, babe. It's an old job.
Someone has to do
Listen,
it.
Listen, stick all of them in the jungle. Let's go.
Oh, well, I love it. What I love about
stick
you, babe.
Stick all of them in the jungle. Let's do it. Listen, but you know what it is? It's like I said, we do have mad fights, but then we do, you know, yes, Lauren was in the jungle. I've made videos there supporting her, you know, so when it comes to supporting, you know, I've had fights with Lauren before, but as you know, we get, when it's time to support each other, we there. So, and every Monday at 9 p.m. tune in.
Listra, you're a prick, Tej. You slide the tip in and you always get me wanting more. But you know, just, you know when the tip's enough. And then she pulls out and leaves me begging. And that's why I love you, girl.
Honestly, have you been really catching up with it? Amazing?
Of course. I think I've got, there's a couple I've got to catch up with, but yeah, or maybe only one. So I'm excited and I'm glad that you ain't spilling the tea too much, but we always like a little bit of an exclusive here. Access okay, all
on,
areas.
I
like
what tea, what tea do you want? What tea do you want me to spill? Go on, quick.
Babe, you're the governor. You're on this series. You know what's going down. What exclusive can you give me? Because I like to access all areas and that's why the show's called Access All Areas. So yeah. Give me something to access. Give us a little behind the scenes bit of tea.
I've met Paige Baby, and when I say she is adorable.
Is that the tea I'm getting?
He's unimpressed.
Can I leave you hanging?
Yeah. Who gets on? So obviously, like, we leave Park Rachel aside, and I've literally only got a few minutes left of the show. But who gets on your tits the most? Does it change from series to series, or is that because, like you say, in every job, whether you work in an office, a supermarket, a bank, there's always going to be certain people you get on with more. Is there kind of someone, which I think I know, but I'm asking you the question, is there kind of someone that you just don't gel with?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's no denying that myself and Nicole don't gel.
No.
You know, there's no denying that we don't gel. But it's not for the lack of, you know, trying. And so that's there. It's there. So, you know, it's just parked at the moment. So, and like you said, I think you just can't just, it's just like some series to series. You know, I didn't think that me and Rachel was going to fall out over me just saying, well, Paige is here and here to stay. Because the reality of it, she's the housewife, and she's not going anywhere. So where is the lying? Well, I said, there's no lying.
You're basically stuck with them.
And it becomes a rock and a hard place, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Where you kind of, on reality shows, where you can't break the fourth wall, it's kind of hard to kind of then go, well, actually, because we're at work, this is the gig. So you kind of, and I've been in them situations where you wanted to have a go, well, we're filming a fucking show. We can't reference there's a camera crew around us, or that you've done that, and that there's episodes on ITVX and YouTube where we can we can pull in our receipts. So where that fourth wall can become a little bit of a nightmare. But last couple of minutes, I just want to ask you kind of on this note, but not necessarily with Rachel or anyone in particular, but being in the public eye, do you find it hard having arguments? Because it's quite personal.
No, because listen, I'm 100% true to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I am what I am. And I don't sugarcoat anything. What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
I'm the most lovable. You know, a lot of the times, you look at what we're really fighting over. The fact that I'm saying, like, let's open our hands, arms, and you know, welcome Elle and welcome Paige. You know, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Mm. Like, do not, you know, don't be a doorkeeper. Don't just, why can't you just, when a new person come in, just be welcoming. That's all it is. You know, the argument stems from that. But listen, I'm sure everything's going to work out as it always do. And
do you think the other girls get intimidated when new people come in?
I would think so, because I would think so. But I don't see the need. I don't understand why, because at the end of the day, you know, they're the ones that have been there the longest and I've got the strong bond. And so, you know, it's just like if you're going to imagine, you know, being a kid going to kindergarten or whatever, and everybody's there before you. You the one coming into a class and you don't know. Imagine that on top of people not wanting to welcome you. I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
Lystra, thank you so much for joining us, babes. It's always a pleasure. Mm. I look forward to catching up with you face to face. We'll go and paint the town crimson.
Absolutely.
Hopefully
but
you're
able to... But make sure, and I obviously I can't say much because we still have the reunion to film. Oh. And at the reunion,
I love it. I'd like to see a ring on that finger for the reunion. Right, Lisha, sending you lots of love.
Bye.
Thanks again for letting us access all areas. Take care, darling. Bye. Oh, Ellen, lovely show.
So good. Wow, we had a nice mixed bag there, didn't we?
Didn't we? A little bit of everything from cream pies to bitch
to
fights in Cheshire. Anyway, guys, I've overrun a little bit. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back the same time next week. Bye.